How's he been?
He's great.
Any issues?
None at all.
How's his crate training going?
Every morning, vet techs check over these playful and intelligent Belgian Malinois pups. Many of them likely eventually become four-legged warriors. They could end up in Afghanistan with their human counterparts looking for improvised explosive devices, IEDs, and fighting the Taliban.
Ultimately, we want these dogs to become military working dogs and go downrange and save lives.
Tech Sergeant Joe Knoll is a dog foster. His job is to socialize the dogs before they become canine soldiers. They are pampered and spend months playing, getting housebroken, and becoming accustomed to working with people.
Oh, you like that, Bonesy?
The Department of Defense's dog breeding program supervisor is Bernie Green.
It's people's way of giving back by adopting one of these dogs and fostering it for that period of time.
I'm just checking his ears.
When they are ready, the most energetic and playful dogs will be drafted and trained for combat. Once on the job, the stresses and rigors of war may take their toll on the dogs like they do with people. And sometimes the dogs would show signs that they were suffering from nervous exhaustion. Handlers saw their dogs appearing distressed and confused, forgetting routine commands. Doctors began wondering, could it be that canines experience post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD like people? Walter Burkhardt is the chief of behavioral medicine and military working dog studies at Joint Base San Antonio Lackland.
It's not as if we're trying to call canine PTSD the same as human PTSD, although a number of the signs, the things that we see in the behaviors are very similar.
That's why human psychiatrists, statisticians, and veterinary behaviorists gathered at Lackland to hash out what more people were noticing, that some dogs from war zones could be affected like people.
And it compromises the ability of the team to do its job.
Burkhardt says there was a case here, a case there, but then
we started amassing more and more anecdotal cases and saying, gee, this looks like it's something for real. It looks like it's something that's consistently happening at a fairly low level, but it's something that's happening.
So far, half of the dogs identified with PTSD are able to go back into service. The others are retired and adopted out, or they are assigned other areas of service. Burkhardt says treating the dogs includes medicine or counterconditioning to untrain a PTSD behavior. Burkhardt says one problem is that each dog's health and deployment history isn't tracked the way a human warrior is. He wants that to change.
So we can actually capture the data and look at the dog and say, same or different from time to time. I think that's going to be a real benefit both on the medical side for the dogs, but also on the behavior side for problem behaviors, as well as for problems with performance.
30 to 50 military working dogs are being identified with symptoms of PTSD, and Burkhardt says the number is growing. That could be because more vets now know about it. Still, others aren't convinced canine PTSD is real.
You don't have to believe in this. You don't have to believe in bullets for them to kill you, you know? And you kind of present it in that fashion. It's like, oh yeah, I could see where that would be happening in a dog from time to time, and we need to start looking for it.
But he says the effects of PTSD in dogs and also in people could last long after the last U.S. troops leave Afghanistan. Ryan Lloyd, Texas Public Radio News.